sat now, looking down on the village of Ketsa that had been his home. Not so often these last years, but at first, before he had got used to life in the cave. Sometimes he had climbed up and sat here till dark, straining his eyes to catch the specks of light, picturing Leah and his grandmother at their evening meal, wondering if he would ever see them again. He never had, and he had stopped remembering and wondering, until today. Now that Joel and his sister were no longer shouting, the wind hid their voices. He stared at them, disappointed and baffled. He had to hear them. More than that, he was fighting back a longing to speak to them, his own people, after 5 years. He looked down at his bare, calloused feet, at the goatskin tunic bound with a thong around his waist. What would they think of him, those two in their clean robes and leather sandals? Suppose he should risk his freedom for nothing. But he could not help himself. Like an animal lured out of hiding, he edged slowly from behind the rock. Instantly the boy was on his feet, the girl swiftly up beside him. He might have known they would be off at the sight of him. To his astonishment, they stood still. He saw Joel's hands clench. The boy was no coward. Daniel stood on the trail, his heart pounding. If they ran from him now, he could not bear it. He fumbled for the remembered greeting.
"Peace be with you," he said.
Joel did not relax his guard.
"Peace," he said shortly. Then, "What do you want?"
"No harm, Joel Bar-Hezron," said Daniel.
"How do you know me?"
"I heard your sister call you."
"I am Daniel Bar-Jamin."
Joel stared, remembrance suddenly livening his face.
"The apprentice who ran away from the blacksmith?"
Daniel scowled.
"No one blamed you," said Joel quickly. "Everyone knows how Amalek treats his boys."
"I care nothing for Amalek," Daniel said.
"Can you tell me about my grandmother and my sister?"
Joel frowned and shook his head.
"I'm afraid I can't. Do you know them, Face?"
The girl had been frightened, and her breath was still uneven, but she spoke with a frankness like Joel's.
"There is an old woman who comes to the well in the morning," she said. "She lives in a house behind the street of the cheesemakers."
"Yes," Daniel said hungrily.
The girl hesitated. "They say she has a little girl who never goes out of the house."
"Still?"
He had thought perhaps in all this time. "That is my sister Leah," he said.
He wished he had not asked. It had been better not knowing.
"No one has ever seen her," the girl went on, "but I know that she's there." "I'm sorry, I wish I could tell you more."
Daniel hesitated, embarrassed, but unwilling to give up.
"There was a boy named Simon," he said. 6 or 7 years older. He was bound to Amalek, too."
"You must mean Simon the Zealot," said Joel.
"You know him?"
"I've heard of him. He has his own shop now. They say he gets more business than Amalek."
"He used to help me," said Daniel.
"He has a reputation for being a good man, and a good patriot."
"Would you give him a message for me? Would you tell him I'm up here? I'd like him to know."
Joel looked surprised.
"You mean you live up here?"
"Yes."
"Alone? Is it safe? I mean, they say the mountain is full of robbers."
Daniel said nothing.
"Aren't you lonely?"
"I don't live alone," said Daniel.
"Oh."
Joel was baffled.
"Don't you ever come back to the village?"
"I just get dragged back to Amalek's shop."
"I suppose so."
"Yes, I'll tell Simon, of course."
"How long since you ran away?"
5 years, about.
Simon will remember me, though."
The girl spoke in a straightforward voice that matched the look in her eyes.
5 years? Do you mean your grandmother hasn't known where you were in all this time?"
Daniel looked at the ground, his lips tightening.
"Tomorrow, when she comes to the well, can I tell her I've seen you?"
Daniel looked back at her with resentment.
He had long since managed to quiet his conscience, and he did not like having it stirred up again.
"If you like," he said.
He felt angry at himself now and disappointed. Why had he given himself away after all these years? What had he expected? There was nothing more to stay for.
"You'd better go back," he said, turning away. "You shouldn't have come up here."
"Why not?" asked Joel, looking not at all alarmed.
"I'm warning you. After this, stay in the village."
He walked away from them.
"Wait," called Joel.
He looked at his sister with a swift question, and she nodded.
We brought our lunch. Will you eat it with us?"
The blood rushed up into Daniel's face. He had not asked for their charity.
"It's not much," Joel said, "but we'd like to talk to you some more."
Was it possible this boy had made the offer in friendship? Slowly, like a wary animal, Daniel took a few steps back and let himself down on the grass. From the pocket of the wide striped girdle that bound her waist, the girl pulled a neatly wrapped bundle. Joel produced a small flask, which he handed to his sister, then sat down and solemnly held out his hands. With astonishment, Daniel watched the girl pour a little stream of water over her brother's hands. Hand washing before a meal. He hadn't given a thought to it for 5 years. He wouldn't have imagined that even a scribe's son would carry water all the way up the mountain just to observe the law. Then the girl turned toward him. He saw the question in her eyes and the slight shrinking, and a stubborn pride stiffened him. He was a Jew, wasn't he? He held out his hands and watched the drops trickle over his blackened knuckles, embarrassed, thinking how the men in the cave would hoot if they could see him. The girl unwrapped the bundle and made 3 small piles, equal piles, he noticed, not skimping herself, the way his mother used to do. Then Joel spoke a blessing, and they handed Daniel his share, a few olives, a flat little loaf of wheat bread, and a small honey cake, whose taste his tongue suddenly remembered from childhood. For the first time, Daniel felt his tight muscles begin to relax. His eyes met Joel's, and the two boys studied each other without hostility.
"Why did you come up here?" Joel asked, wiping the last crumbs of cake off his chin.
In some way, the food had made it easier to speak.
"I knew there were caves up here," Daniel answered. "All I wanted was a place to hide where a melech couldn't catch me. But I couldn't find any caves, and I wandered around for 3 days, and then a man found me."
He thought of how Rosh had found him lying flat on his face, starving, half-frozen, his back still raw from the last flogging. How could he tell this boy what that night had been like? He remembered the terrible moment when he had seen the man bending over him, and how Rosh had reached out a hand, not to strike him, but to help him to his feet. And then, when he had flopped over, how Rosh had picked him up and carried him like a baby all the way to the cave.
"A robber?" Joel questioned. "A good man," said Daniel fiercely. "He took me to live with him." "What's it like up here? What do you do all the time?"
"Hunt. Wolves and jackals, even panthers. Sometimes we hunt as far north as Merom. I work at my trade, too. I made a forge to work on."
Joel looked impressed. Even the girl was listening with dark eyes as lively as her brother's. Daniel looked at the other boy with curiosity. He had been trying to find a distinguishing mark about Joel.
"What is your trade?" he asked.
"I'm still at school," said Joel. "I'm going to go on to be a rabbi, probably. But I studied sandal making, too. I could earn my living at it, but I'm sorry for the man who has to wear my sandals."
Daniel nodded. Of course Joel would be a rabbi. He had always been the smartest boy in the school. But even a rabbi must learn a trade, like any other man.
"Why did you come today?" he asked. "No one comes up here from the village."
The girl laughed. "We'll be skinned alive if anyone finds out we've come," she said.
"We always planned to," Joel explained, "ever since we were children. We weren't allowed to because it's supposed to be dangerous. Today's a holiday, and we just decided to come without telling anyone. It was our last chance. We're leaving the village and going to live in Capernaum."
His sister frowned at him. I don't see why you always have to sound so...